it's literally in a split second, you can say, like, Jesus, I'm confused by you. I don't really know what you're all about, but, like, I think I want to know you. Like, can you help me? And he will be there next to you in that split second. And in your pain, like, don't hide any of your pain, any of your emotions, you know, like, from God or from your peers. Like, being open and vulnerable with the Lord is so powerful. Like, it doesn't scare him. And so just, like, I just want people to know that they can be real. Like, they don't have to put on an act, or, like, praise God that he chose us and meets us when we're literally at the top of our sin, you know?
Yeah. Welcome to A Christian Podcast, the podcast where we have Christ-centered conversations. I'm your host, Kevin Wilson. Welcome to another episode of A Christian Podcast with Kevin Wilson. Today, I have a special guest with me. Please, please, please introduce yourself. Tell the people who you are.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kara. I am currently living in West Palm Beach, Florida, and I am a mental health therapist and a biblical counselor, and I specialize in working with children, middle school, high school, college age, and I just really have a heart to see mental health and Christianity come together, and so I'm so excited to be able to talk with Kevin today.
Awesome. This is going to be a good episode. I'm excited. Before we get into the episode, though, I want to do a couple things. First, I want to shout out the Christian Podcast, ACP Worldwide Family. We got a couple people from different places around the world. One, we have Cindy Olana from Ethiopia, and we have Landolin from Houston. Shout out to you guys. I appreciate you for watching. If you're watching from anywhere, let us know. We want to know whether it's here in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I'm at, if it's in Florida, or if it's anywhere around the world, let us know. We're super excited. Also, if you want to get merch, we have different merch. Can I Pray For You? We have Jesus Died For You. We have With God. We have a whole bunch of different stuff. You can do that in the link in the description. And so last thing, if you want to support A Christian Podcast financially, the link is in the description to do that. You can do it through PayPal, Buy Me a Coffee, or even Cash App. So if you want to support and help A Christian Podcast continue to do what we do, I would greatly appreciate that. And you can do that in the links in the description. Now, so you are, Kara, the first person that I've interviewed that I haven't, like, talked to at all. So I'm going to ask you a couple interesting questions real quick. Number one, if you could be an animal, what would you be?
A dog, because they're just my best friends.
I got
they're
you. I got
so
you.
Happy. And
I think I saw your dog on Instagram.
Probably, because it's all my dogs.
That's what's
I have.
Up.
I have a three-legged German Shepherd that I rescued, and then a little Collie mix that I rescued, and they are amazing.
That's awesome. That's what's up. Let me see. Let's see. Okay. What is the worst flavor Starburst?
The yellow one.
The yellow one?
Yeah. I don't know what flavor. What is that? Lemon?
I think it might be. I like the yellow one.
You
to
like
me, the worst is the orange. I think the orange is just, it's too tart. And I'm like, I didn't want
the
that.
The yellow one is literally way more tart.
Okay. All right. One more question. If you had, this one's ridiculous. If you had to, would you rather fight a horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses? So a horse that's, or a duck that's literally the size of a horse,
yeah.
Or 100?
A duck that's the size of a horse.
A duck, okay.
Because
it's just one?
Well, yeah, the chance of going one-on-one, if you're fighting 100, they're just going to surround you.
That's
and
true.
Then, like, you fight one off, and then one's going to come, you know, so you might as well just, like, try your chances with the one.
I feel you. I think I would be, I don't know, I would be, one, I'd be afraid of a duck that size. But I might need some counseling after that. It might be a little traumatic. I think I'm going to go with the 100, though, because I feel like I could just kick them and...
No, because there's 100. You
That's
kick
true.
One and one comes.
You're probably right. I would like to see somebody else go through it, not me though. Okay, cool. So we got through the funny, ridiculous questions. Let us know. Put your answers in the description. What animal would you be if you could? What's the worst flavor Starburst? And would you rather fight a horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses? All right. So
also, ducks have 2 legs and horses have 4 legs.
That's true. So you could just yank one leg out, it'll follow.
Yeah. Right? The horses, they can run on 3 legs.
That's true. You might be onto something here. Let us know what you think in the comments. All right. So you in your introduction described yourself as a counselor, correct? And did you say a biblical counselor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, digging into that term. I don't think I've ever heard of that term before.
Yeah, so biblical counselor, it is basically all pastors are, you know, they're pastoral counselors, biblical counselors. There's also the association, of biblical counselors. And so that area, that field, they are not held underneath like the estate regulation, like a licensed professional counselor is. So even if you are a licensed professional Christian counselor, you are still held by the laws and the ethics of like your state counseling board. Mm-hmm. And so with that, there are, you know, yes, if you advertise yourself as a Christian counselor, you have the freedom to definitely talk about the Lord and bring prayer into it. But if at any point, you know, a client changes their mind or says disagrees with something, they can tell the state licensing board, you know, you can lose your license. It's just, you have to abide by a lot of the ethical rules, which I totally get, you know, like that's the field that you chose to work in and that's how it is. But
yeah,
my heart the last few months, you know, is like, there is no way. I really believe in like holistic healing, especially for these kids, you know? So, there's no way, like, yes, you know, I can work with a kid with low self-esteem and insecurity and anxiety, you know, self-love, grounding techniques, confidence building, things like that. But like, if you can't bring in the Holy Spirit and, you know, like have them fall in love with the Lord, and then like, are we going to get like lasting holistic healing? Probably not, you know?
That's good.
And so, yeah, my heart was just, I want a space where I am not held by the government rules and the state licensing rules. So, that's when I opened my biblical counseling practice.
That's dope. Okay, so with that being said, right, because I agree with you, right? I believe apart from God, apart from Jesus, apart from the Holy Spirit, there is a level of healing that you will never receive. So with that, do you think that non-Christian counseling is, I don't want to say a waste of time, but a waste of time for a lack of better term?
Yeah, definitely not. And I am an independent contractor at a place in Jupiter, Florida. Mm-hmm. And it is not Christian based at all.
Got you.
And so I am full time there most of the time with my caseload. No, absolutely not a waste of time. The youth in today, you know, middle school, high school, even elementary school, they are being like targeted literally like never before. Like it is scary, honestly.
Wow.
And so, you know, do I wish I could tell them all about Jesus? Yes. But I want them at least to be in my office where they can feel loved and safe. And I still pray, like, they don't know, but my office is still filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, whether they know it or not, you know?
That's good.
Yeah. And so it's definitely not a waste of time. I think it's definitely better when you can incorporate the Lord, but
yeah, that's good. That because that provides balance to where on one side you may have someone that It's like, okay, if it's not Christian counseling, it's nothing. It's not useful. Uh-huh. And then on the other end, they might have somebody that doesn't even see the value in having Christian counseling, Christian mental health professionals, and the way that they can help. And so I think that provides some balance. So talk about this gap, even in there, that we kind of like see with Christianity and mental health and counseling. Like, how are they separate and where do they blend?
Yeah. Well, to answer first, the root of all my beliefs where this has come out of is, like, God created our thoughts and our emotions just as much as he created our physical bodies, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to me, like, if you say God created us, then you can't take out half of that, you know? You can't say, like,
yeah,
he doesn't know this, or he doesn't know that, or he didn't create the way that I feel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I feel like science is actually not catching up, but we're becoming more aware of different science, especially like in the brain.
Yeah.
And it all goes together, like with Christianity.
Yeah.
And it's so fascinating. But like, for example, our thoughts are made up out of like thought trees. Like they look like mm-hmm. kind of like a tree, like the root, the trunk, the branches. And like God created those neurons that make up yeah. our thought trees. Like, and so when people are like, you know, oh, my thoughts are so evil. And like, yes, the enemy can have, they can influence our thoughts, mm-hmm. but it's like God created that the way that you think. And so it's not something that you should shy away from.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that, I guess that's just kind of a rant.
No, that's good though. Can I jump in right there real quick?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's a good reminder, because sometimes we can forget the creator. Like, we can forget that we can let the world, the things we see, the problems, the issues, the stress, the anxiety, you can endure that and almost forget that God is the creator of you, of the earth, of everything. And so I think that's a good perspective to remember. Like, even if like my body, my mind is out of alignment, it's still at the end of the day subject to my creator, which then brings a whole new perspective of, okay, how do I get back to where I'm supposed to be, which I'm sure mm-hmm. we'll get to. I want to get to later. But I think that's good.
Yeah, and the most amazing thing to realize too is, and this kind of goes back to, if you asked, you know, is counseling a waste of time if it's not from a Christian perspective? And another reason why I would say no is because God created it where, like, so say a traumatic event happens, your neural pathways are changed. You know, like if a child experiences trauma at the age of 8, their brain is going to develop differently, like scientifically, mm-hmm. than if a child that grows up with no trauma. And so, but the way that God created it is that those neural pathways can be healed through different modalities like EMDR therapy and, you know, and so like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like God created it wow. where this, like, if you have cancer and you know, you go and you get chemotherapy, if you have PTSD or if you've gone through a traumatic event, like God created your brain where there's a way to heal those pathways to becoming like in alignment again.
Wow. That's so good. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about, let's see where I go. Okay. Let's first talk about this. How do I recognize when I need help beyond just reading the Bible? Like, how do I recognize when, because as somebody who is a Christian, we know that the Bible is our source for instruction, direction, understanding, knowledge, clarity, all of that stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
At the same time, God has given us tools through people, through knowledge, through even science, as you were talking about. Uh-huh. He's given us tools to utilize. So how do we know, like, because I'll be real, like, especially within the Black community, uh-huh. like, mental health is one either not talked about. It's starting to become more frequently talked uh-huh. about, but especially, like, for parents and our parents' parents, like, uh-huh. mental health is not a thing. Anxiety, you don't have anxiety. Just stop it. Cut it. Knock it off. Right? And yeah. so, even depression and bipolar, like, you see people with these, and you can recognize it now, but, like, uh-huh. back then, it's just like, nah, just deal with it. So how uh-huh. do you recognize, one, when I am dealing with something that's beyond just happenstance or just, I need help?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a great question. It takes a lot of humility to say I need help, you know, humility, but also strength. And I think a lot of people, there's a fear of coming across as weak, you know, calling a friend and saying, like, I actually need help. Like, I'm not okay right now. I think that is the greatest sign of strength, not weakness, yeah. you know? And so I think it comes with self-awareness too. Like, if I'm sitting and I'm reading my Bible and, you know, it's amazing, but it's like, I'm sad, you know, or I finished reading the Bible, but I'm going to work and, you know, I'm feeling like so anxious, you know, mm-hmm. yes, like meditate on scriptures, but it's like the self-awareness of like, this isn't just going to go away if I ignore it. Because the longer that we ignore something, as I'm sure every single person has experienced, like it's going to come up in some way, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think it's just becoming aware, like, okay, this is something that I think I need to talk about. And I need to process so that it doesn't come up 20 years from now when I'm parenting my kids, you know?
Yeah. put a pin in that, because I want to go back to how things can come back later. I'll share, like, even when I was growing up, like when I played basketball, uh-huh. I would wake up, like on game days, I would wake up and I didn't even recognize it as anxiety then. Uh-huh. I just was like, yo, I'm just extremely nervous. Like, from the time I woke up to 5, 6, 7 p.m., I'm, like, nervous. Oh. Right now, I recognize that's beyond just regular nervousness. Like, it's, you know, like, we talked about, I had a worship night.
Yeah.
Like, last Friday. There was, like, it was excitement, but it was, like, totally cool. Like, I was more nervous to play a game of basketball than I was to stand in front of a crowd of people and speak. One, that's also part of the, you know, the calling of God and just when you're walking, what you're called in. But at the same time, I recognize now, like, I had anxiety. Like, I had anxiety when it came to playing this sport that I grew up playing. And so I share that to say, to go, you know, hand in hand with what Kara is saying, is that there's certain things where, you know, if you have to speak, you know, at work or something or do this or whatever, you may experience some level of nervousness. But then there's, like, I think what you're getting at is, like, there's this prolonged, like, never ending presence of nervousness, anxiousness that you may have to look into and say, this is beyond just, I'm just nervous because I have a big thing or whatever.
And another thing to put in there is it's never a bad choice. Like, it's never going to be a negative thing, you know, like,
that's true.
If you go through a breakup and you know that that it's a really hard breakup, like, there is no cons to going and talking about it with a professional, like, you know? And so, like, if you're thinking about it from, like, pros or cons, like, when do I do it? When do I not do it? Like, when in doubt, do it, because there's literally no cons. And it's it's not ever something to be ashamed of, or like you're weak, or again, I think the strongest people in the Bible, in our world, in history today, like, they ask for help. Like, they know when it's time to ask for help.
That's good. So growing up, what was your experience like when it came to the view of this? Because, like I said, in the Black community, again, overall, obviously, it's not that way for everybody, but overall, it's like counseling, you know, therapy. You don't need that. Just pray and go to church. Growing up, was that like, did you have a similar experience? Was it accepted? Like, how did you view just mental health in general and then also counseling and everything?
Yeah, that is a great question. And mom, if you're listening, don't feel bad about this. But my mom's come to me now that I'm a counselor, and she's just like cried. And she's like, I am so sorry that when you were younger, I didn't put you in counseling and let you talk to somebody. I was a weird kid. Like, I didn't talk until I was in third grade. Wow. Like, first of all, that is not normal. You know, like, hello, parents. Like, why did I not get help?
Now, when you say you didn't talk, like, you mean like you didn't talk a lot, or you literally didn't speak?
No, I didn't say a word in public until I was in third grade.
Oh, wow.
Like, not with a teacher, not a single person. And I don't remember a lot of my childhood, but I know things like that. And then, like, my mom said that I would just come home from, like, school of not talking, and I would just, scream. And I would just, like, have so much, like, pent up inside. And that has sparked, like, such a fascination of, like, you know, are we born with specific, like, tendencies or, like, callings? Like, for example, I believe now that, like, because I don't know why I was like that. There was no reason to be like that, you know? But I think my view of that has now become, like, the Lord knew that I needed that much, like, passion and anger. And my biggest calling is, like, to fight injustices, and, like, through that, and, like, human trafficking specifically. But, and so it's, like, God knew that I needed to experience, like, so much passion, which that's had to grow, and I need wisdom with that, you know, like, as I've gotten older. But it's just fascinating. Anyways, that was so off topic.
No, it really wasn't, though, because, and I want to just jump in real quick.
Yeah.
Like, part of your frustrations in life, like, God uses your frustrations in your calling. So sometimes you may be frustrated, and, like, to anybody watching this, you may be frustrated in a certain area, but your frustration is oftentimes an indication of the problems and the solutions that you were created, like, born for to fix.
For sure. Amen. Yeah.
So even with that, it's like you have, you know, in God's sovereignty, it may be that he allowed you to experience that so that you have this passion and this righteous indignation for this thing, like this topic, these issues. And so that's on topic.
Yeah. And a quick plug for people who are, you know, like, what do I do with my life? You know, careers, you know, like, just choose, like, what is something that makes your heart upset, or what's something that, you know, ignites your passion? Like, choose anything in the world that just your heart, you know, feels more just, like, angry towards. Or I say anger because I experienced a lot of anger. And then, like, pursue that as a career, you know, like, if racial inequality, you know, makes your heart so angry, then, you know, go and pursue, like, you know, become a lawyer so you can fight against it, or become, you know, like, just choose a career where you can fight against that. But that's a different plug. Anyways, okay. Well, so I didn't start going to counseling until I was, I think, my freshman year after college. And so, little bit quick of my story, my parents separated and got back together about 7-8 times while I was growing up. And so, love them now. Like, they are together. The Lord has completely miraculously, like, redeemed my family. But as a kid and as a teenager growing up in an environment where there is zero consistency, and dad's here, dad's gone, mom and dad are crying, they're, you know, like, that created in me, like, such a high level of panic. You know, like, there was a time after I left the house where I couldn't hear their voice. I couldn't see them without falling into a panic attack. And my therapist explained it, like, you know, Kara, you spent your entire life, like, checking on them, trying to make sure that they were okay, trying to, you know, be the parent. And my brain, literally, when I reached a certain age, was like, I can't do that anymore. And it just like snapped. And so I had to go through a period of really intense counseling. And I remember my counselor, I was sitting on her couch with my dog and I was just bawling. And I think for the first like 3 sessions, because I hadn't gone to counseling for the first 19 years of my life. So when I finally went, I would just cry the whole first 2 sessions. But I remember specifically, like people are like, why did you want to become a therapist? And I say this every time, that I was sitting there on the couch and I was crying and I looked at her sitting on the chair across from me. And I thought in my mind, if I can be in her place one day, helping another kid like me, then that's a reason to keep living. And after that, went back, changed my major, and I never, ever looked back.
Wow. So, oh my gosh, that's dope. So you mentioned that like there's a lot of stuff from your childhood you don't remember. Do you think that that is because of the way that your brain like processed the trauma, that it just was like, I don't want to remember it? Can you talk about like that in itself? Because I'm sure other people experienced that.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's also a way that goes back to like how God created us. So, for example, if a child goes through an event that's really hard, your brain will do something to protect you. It's kind of like a defense mechanism, but it's like, and there's different ways that it does it, but basically you just move on. And so you don't try and figure out a way to phrase it so that people can understand. But if a kid is hit every day by their parents, like their brain will be like, it will shut off in certain areas so that they can still survive. Because if they were to actually feel the full weight of the emotional pain, the neglect, the physical pain, they wouldn't be able to survive. Like they literally wouldn't. And so your brain and body goes into like a protection mode where you just like shut off, you know, feelings, emotions, thoughts, so that like as a defense mechanism so that you can continue just surviving. And so when people say like, I fell into survival mode, like that's what happened, you know? And so then as you're older, if you don't get help in, you know, recovering that, then it's like, of course, you're just going to live the rest of your life in survival mode, like cutting off or not accessing certain parts of, you know, memories, thoughts, kind of everything like that. So that's for sure.
Wow. So, excuse me. It's making me wonder how many people, even myself, like how many people are walking around like fine, but it's really just
everyone.
You know what I'm saying? It's really like, nah, you just, your brain literally just helped you not deal with that.
Yeah.
And are you saying like your brain helped you out? Your brain did you a favor at the time because it knew that if you had to actually deal with all of this, it would be too
for
much.
Sure.
But on the back end, later on in life, those things, if unprocessed, will come back.
100%.
Now, so what's the process of, because like you said, your brain shuts it off. Your brain tries to forget it. So through counseling and other methods, what is the actual process of going back, trying to remember or at least recalling the time during those things and then healing through that?
Yeah. You need to, and this is when like you need to be with a professional and not just a friend or a mentor, you know, because when you go back and you know, you talk about your story, you talk about things that maybe you witnessed, you know, maybe you were an 8-year-old boy walking to school and you saw somebody who was shot laying on the sidewalk, you know, like that's a memory that's going to be ingrained in you. You know, and so for example, like if you start talking about this and these memories come up, you need to be in a safe place with a professional where they know how to like ground your, like they know how to help you ground yourself before you start bringing up these hard memories. You know, and so that's just, you know, another reason why it's important to actually talk to a professional and not just like a friend in certain situations. But, you know, and so CBT therapies, but, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy, that is probably the most well-known. And that's just a form of like talk therapy. And it's where you, the way that I love to use it is specifically with like anxiety, panic attacks, fears, phobias. It's like putting your thoughts on trial. And so if we experience a thought, you know, some thoughts are true, some thoughts aren't true. And so when you have these thoughts, you put them like on trial. And then it's like you examine the ways that they could be true and the ways that they are not true. So it's like challenging every thought, which literally the Bible talks about when it says like, take every thought captive, which again is how it goes together. There's that. But the more traumatic, you know, if you really need to access different memories and heal through different memories, EMDR therapy, which is also getting pretty well known, that that is very good to go through.
And what EMDR, what's that?
It's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And everybody should look it up. I don't really have time to talk fully about it, but it's just how, like I was saying, you know, like when you go through trauma and then your neural pathways get, you know, kind of mixed up, going through that, like through eye movement and reprocessing, that's the process of healing those neural pathways, like of healing those. It literally puts it back together. And how it does it, that's super complicated and scientific, but it's amazing and you should do it.
Got you. Okay. So, you were hitting on scripture, right? Take every thought captive and make it obedient, right? So let's talk about that process.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the scriptures like that, take every thought captive, the scriptures like, you know, Romans 12, be not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Yep. So, some people don't know how to actually do that. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds good, and they might quote the scripture over and over and say, okay, take every thought captive. Mm-hmm. What does that look like spiritually and then also naturally?
Great question.
I know it's a lot. take it one thing at a time.
Yeah. I think, you know, meditating on the scripture, that's never not going to be good. You know, like always do that, you know, choose scripture to memorize and meditate on. But then like, what's it mean to renew your mind or to take every thought captive? So if I leave a social event, and I am just like, oh my gosh, did I say something weird? You know, that person across the room looked at me funny. I don't think I can go back here. You know, like how your thoughts can just like start spiraling. And then it's like, whoa, like now I'm like,
how do we get here? Or,
yeah, you know. And so like in that moment, I think how we implement that verse is take every thought captive. Like, you know, one, we always think that more people are looking at us than they actually are. You know, you walk through a crowd, we think everyone's looking at us. Reality, not a single person is even noticing that we're walking by.
Nobody cares.
Like, really, it's just not. Like, in your mind, it's just such a huge thing. But, you know, so taking the thoughts like, okay, this person doesn't like me, this person looked at me weird. Like examining, like, have I ever even talked to this person? Does this person know anything about me? Like, walk yourself through what could be true about that and then what could not be true about that. And then with that, if, you know, if it's like this person across the room was looking at me not kindly, do you know that person? Is there maybe something that you mentioned in a conversation a few weeks ago? Like, let the Lord bring something up, you know, if like, if maybe you do need to have a conversation and ask for forgiveness or apologize about something, you know, so, but just like examine those thoughts. And it's like, is there truth to this? Or is this just my mind or the enemy really, you know, just putting this anxiety in me?
That's real. So one thing I liked as you said was, doing that is like putting your thoughts on trial. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when it comes to deliverance as well, like There's a deliverance minister named Don Dickerman. And so he talks about the process of deliverance being a like a courtroom. And basically you're like a prosecutor. And so essentially you're establishing where this issue, where this, if we're talking about a demon, where this demon, like the source of it, and whether or not it has a legal access or right to be there.
Yeah.
And so the same thing with that scripture and with that, it is to take every thought and present it before God and say, God, okay, did you give me this thought? Okay, the Bible says you did not give me a spirit of fear. So, okay, that thought does not come from you. Now, by acknowledging that, we recognize this is not from God. Now we can deal with it and present it to God and say, Lord, one, take this away from me.
Yeah.
Two, let me immerse myself in scripture. Uh-huh. And real quick, I just want to touch on how to meditate on scripture, because we often like say it. And if you're like newer or you don't know, it's kind of like, okay, how do I meditate? How do I meditate on scripture?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
So there's different ways, right? But meditating in its original word, I believe it's Hebrew, it really means to chew on, right? It's the same word used for like cows, because cows have multiple stomachs. And so they literally like will chew and regurgitate and chew it and like it over and over. And so it's the same thing that you do with the word. You take a scripture. And so maybe it's just one scripture for one season, or it's like, maybe it's a scripture for a day or a week or whatever. But like, if you're going through fear, okay, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Meditating on that scripture will look like you literally take that, you try your best to memorize it, you get it in your mind, and then literally all throughout the day, especially if you are in a situation where you feel fearful, you go, okay, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but power. And so you're literally all day, it's called, we call it chewing on the word. And so you take this word and you over and over and over to the point where, and this kind of goes back to the science of it, I imagine I'll let you speak more on this, it begins to change the neural pathways, the thought trees.
For sure.
So talk about that part.
Man, I mean, I would just say with that, like, our thoughts have power and the words have power, you know? And so there's a statistic that's like 80% of the negative words we hear come from ourselves, you know, like, which is just crazy. But yeah, like the words that you speak about yourself, about others, those have power. Just like the thoughts that you let yourself think and meditate on, they have power as well. And so like, you know, no, if you need to repeat to yourself 100 times, like, you know, I am not useless. You know, then like say that, because the more that you say it, you know, the more that you'll believe it. Because the words that we speak, they have a lot of power. And I would just say a quick plug, like, that's why it's so important who you surround yourself with, because if you're with a group of people who constantly put you down or, you know, make jokes, but like they're not funny, you know, it's like, that's like really serious, because the words that are spoken about you have a lot of power. And so surround yourself with people who build you up and don't, you know, don't talk negatively about you, or, you know, that's just side note, but very important who you surround yourself with.
Yeah. And even like scripturally, the Bible says, like, when you were speaking, I just thought of like mad scriptures, like, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we say that in like the King James Version, but like, if you just really break it down, what you think is who you are. So, in other words, you have the power to change who you are and how you are, because, okay, if it's a matter of my thoughts determine me, then as simple as it is, it's literally change your thoughts, begin to think on things as Jesus, as the word says, like think on things above and not beneath. So think on, you know, heavenly things, things of God, just the scripture, God's character. And then, there was another scripture that you said, death and life is in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
Like, the Bible tells us that. And so literally And people kind of get extreme like this, like, okay, if I say somebody's going to die, does that mean they're going to die right now? And it's like, we gotta be practical. But one, it is possible that, like, I don't want to take that out. Like, literally, God has given us power in our tongue. Uh-huh. In the Bible, and James talks about how the tongue is like a ship. Like, you can have a large, like a mm-hmm. cruise boat, but mm-hmm. like the rudder of the ship is not that big. And just as your tongue compared to your body, it's not that mm-hmm. big. But at the end of the day, yeah. that the thing that small can determine where the ship goes. And so the same thing with the words we speak and what you say and what you think. It may seem insignificant, but mm-hmm. those things can actually determine who you are. And so if you take advantage of that, then you can actually be with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can be uh-huh. in control of your thought process, your mind, your mental health.
Yeah. And something that the Lord spoke to me that changed my life even just a few months ago is talking about, like, who we are. He was like, the way that God sees you is who you really are.
Mm.
And it's like, if I think of myself one way, or if, like, if somebody labels me as something, or even if, like, even, you know, turn it the other way, you know, like the Pharisees, like, doesn't yeah. matter how well you think of yourself or how much you're admired by people. Like, you are who God thinks of you as, or like how, you know, which can go both ways. You know, it can be, if you're struggling with, like, insecurity, like, it can be beautiful, you know. It's like, you really are just how God says you are, you know? Mm. But then it's also can also be really convicting, because it's like, if you're putting on an act and you're not being genuine and your heart isn't pure, then it's like, that's who you are, because, like, God sees the heart.
Yeah.
That was really convicting.
It's good. Cause it's like, it's just like, it's like, you are who God says you are.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, you are what you do, in a sense. Like, even Jesus was like, it's not what goes in your mouth, but what comes out of your mouth that defiles a person. So he's like, okay, you can do whatever, say whatever, but, like, at the end of the day, if you speak this, like, if you speak negativity, if you speak curses, if you speak whatever, like, it is that truly determines, like, who you are, in a sense.
Uh-huh. Just like,
as you act it out, it's like duality to it, because we are who God says we are, but we uh-huh. choose to act a certain way.
And there's a verse on that too, you know, when he says, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Yep. You know, like, it all goes together.
Yeah. I just thought about something when you said that. Because he's like, Jesus is like, you know, many will say to me, did we not prophesy in your name?
Yeah.
Did we not cast out demons in your name? And I will say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. To your point, one, it's talking about the relationship with God. You can do things in the name of God and not actually know God.
Uh-huh.
But I wonder if it also hits, as I didn't think about,
uh-huh.
I never knew the version of you that you were acting out. Like, I knew who I created, but
yeah.
who you presented yourself to be, I didn't know. That I never thought about it like that.
I think 100%, yeah. Isn't that so convicting?
I never thought, like, I don't even recognize this version of you.
Yeah. Mm. Or you know how, like, you can have, like, a best friend and, you know, your best friend knows you so well, and then, like, you go to this, like, place or this party, and then afterwards, they're like, I have no idea who you were in there. Like, what were you doing?
Yep,
you know, fact. Like, I feel like that totally can be the Lord sometimes, you know? He's like, why are you being like this? But in such a kind, God
loving
is so
way.
Kind, but he's also so just, and it, like, you can't take one attribute of God and not take the other one, you know? So, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Cause in that, and again, that's the difference between, like, conviction and condemnation. Like when it comes from God, when it comes from Jesus, the Holy Spirit, it is, hey, I know you're better than that. Like, I made you better than that. Like, rise to who I've called you to be. When it comes from, and that's conviction. And when it comes from the enemy, it's condemnation. It says, like, yo, you're terrible. You are how you're acting out. And it's this accusatory, or it's just like this. It puts you down. Whereas God's lifting you up, the enemy is pushing you down.
Yeah.
And so that's a good thing to think about. Like, remember, at the end of the day, God is in control of everything, but he's given us control over certain things. So
free will. Yeah. He doesn't want robots.
Yeah, he can tell us the words to say, the scriptures to recite and memorize and meditate on, but at the end of the day, he can't do it for us. So that's our part to do the work.
For sure.
That's so dope. So you talked about, like you have a passion for young people, right? So adolescents. What kind of things? Okay, where do I go? Okay,
I go so many places.
I know. I'm like, all right, here we go, Holy Spirit. So, is it just me? I think you were hitting on this a little bit earlier. Or are anxiety, fear, depression levels in young people increasing?
Oh, like a crazy amount.
Okay. And why is that?
So many reasons. And this is really somber. But last week, we had a seventh grade boy kill himself at a middle school down the road from my office. Wow. But the most, just absolutely devastating. But I think the more devastating thing, not more, but just as, is every client that I saw after that week, you know, every single one was, I know why he did it. I understand why he did it. Mm. Oh, I've thought about that. Like, there was a week where suicide was the topic of every single counseling session.
Wow.
And I mean, it's 6 years old, 7 years old, 12 years old, 18 years old. It doesn't even matter. Like, and a lot of that, I mean, I can go into our government and the curriculum and the public schools, but that can be pretty controversy. And I don't want to start that on your podcast.
I got you. It's all good.
Just other basic ways, you know, social media. Do not let your kids, like your little kids, be on TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat. Like, that is just, I say this kindly, the absolute dumbest thing that you can do. there is just, you have zero control, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like not even on purpose. Like, I had a 5-year-old kid, and this isn't to make parents fearful, but aware. I had a 5-year-old kid come, and he was watching YouTube, and then he described in detail porn that came up, like in detail. And this 5-year-old boy doesn't know that it's porn, but like, he was explaining it to me, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, please stop talking.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so just like being so aware of, like, you know, and then I think also a big part is, you know, parents who are having kids at 30 and 40, you know, like oftentimes they have not processed and maybe healed some things that happened when they were children, which is impacting their kids, which is just like, it's normal, you know, like if you don't work through something, that's how it's going to come out eventually. Like we talked about in the beginning. So when I work with kids, it's always working with the parents as well, because 99% of the time it has to do with them.
So do you get like where, okay, so you work with young people, children, kids. So is working with the parent and the family, is that like inclusive of the process? Like that's essential.
Yeah, it can be really tricky. And so I really have to navigate it based on every single family situation. The ideal process is mom and dad come to the intake together, whether they are divorced or together, they come together. And then I meet with the kid, 4 weeks one-on-one. And then I'll do check-ins with the parents if they need like 10 minutes in the beginning, and then after a month, we all sit down again and, we reconvene, we talk about, the goals, the process, the progress. So that's the goal. Oftentimes, especially with teenagers, they don't want their parents involved at all. Mm. Which I understand, because it can be safe in the therapy room, but then, you leave and you go home, and dad's, "I can't believe that you said that," I just kind of have to navigate, can there be progress made with this teenager with her parents, or do I just need to help her get the tools of just making it through until she can graduate and leave?
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Because mm-hmm. the reality is not every family is healthy. Not every parents are good parents.
That's real.
Yeah.
So you go to a place. It's like you got injured, right? And then mm-hmm. you go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Let's say you break your leg. You go to the hospital and they, they wrap you up and everything. But then you go back to this place and then they just poke at the wound again over and mm-hmm. over. So it's like you're healing it. And to an extent, it is being healed over time. But going back to that bad environment, it's almost counterproductive. Not that mm-hmm. not that no work is getting done, but in the sense that
mm-hmm.
it's like you take a shower and then you go right back in the mud.
Well, yeah. And the biggest thing that we have to realize is the only person that you can control is yourself. And so when you're working with the family dynamic, we can't, my client can't control their dad. I can't control their dad or their mom or their sister. And so the only person that we can control is ourselves. And so, yes, we would love for the whole family to be on board of growing and having the difficult conversations and healing and doing what's necessary to get on the same page. But a lot of times people in the family don't share that same goal. They don't understand where they're hurting you. And so then again, you just kind of have to be like, I need to do what's the healthiest for me. And if that's putting some boundaries between me and my mom,
mm-hmm.
then that's what we got to do, Yeah. Not saying that God can't redeem it in the future. He did it with my family, but there was a year where I couldn't talk to them. And that's just what I had to do for myself.
That's good. So essentially, there's a place where you can endure in mm-hmm. the toxic environment, and then there's a place where you have to say, I can't be here anymore because the environment is not mm-hmm. conducive for my healing.
Yeah, and if the other person is not willing to meet you halfway and to partner with you and figuring it out and working on it, then you can't do anything. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Same thing with relationships and family.
That's good. Yeah. Let's talk about habits and because I think habits, I'm realizing the older I get and the more I'm mm-hmm. Habits have a big impact in our life. And a lot mm-hmm. of them, because they are habits and we do it habitually, we don't recognize it. What is the process to recognizing and actually changing or reestablishing unhealthy to healthy habits?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the most beneficial thing of recognizing habits and maybe where they're, because there's negative habits and there's positive habits, right? And so having people, a select few people in your life that you trust to speak into your life is so important. For example, I have my older sister and my brother-in-law, and they know because I've told them, If there is something that you see me doing, if there is a pattern of the way that I speak, like, you have full authority because I trust you, you know, to speak, to tell me, you know, to call it out on me. And so I think just because you have to have awareness, like, sometimes we're doing things and patterns and habits that we don't even know about. So having people in your life that you've established, because not anyone can speak into your life, that is not helpful or healthy.
That's true.
Yeah. So being careful who you let speak into your life, but then, so becoming aware of it and then implementing discipline, which is so hard. Like, the number one question I get from parents when their kids are in therapy for, like, schoolwork or ADHD or focusing or grades, they're like, well, like, how can you, like, are you going to help him, like, focus? And I'm like, I can give him tools, but again, I can't sit next to him in school. Like,
right.
At some point, he's got to pick up the discipline of, I'm going to practice these tools. You know, I'm going to write in my planner. And so kind of the same thing, you know, if I want to change the habit of, you know, the most common one that people have is, I wake up and I'm on Instagram or TikTok for 30 minutes before getting out of bed. If you want to change that, you got to keep your phone in the other room so that you can't reach for it on your bedside table. Like, that's just, like, small discipline, you know?
Yeah. The practical things, I think that's real, because, like, sometimes we look it so deep, or even from a spiritual side, you can, like, Lord, I pray, you know, and it's like, please continue to pray. Prayer is good and effective. But at the same time, if you don't do the actual work, and then, like you said, when it comes to especially a habit in the morning, it's hard to change a habit you do in the morning, because it's the first thing you wake up. You can't even process, like, okay, let me not do this habit right now.
Yeah.
So, like you said, putting your phone in another room, or what I would do, like, when I was in school, I would just put a sticky note on the phone and it just say pray. So if I reached over and I saw it, I was like, okay, let me pray first.
That's awesome.
Recently, I just got this app. It's called Opal, O-P-A-L. And it's kind of like a screen time app, but it kind of, it gets a little bit more in depth and helps you create certain, you know, block zones or times where you, you know, you're able to, you know, cut off certain apps at certain times. So I found that to be really effective, like, setting a time where I can and can't be on it, and it's like, all right, after that I'm locked out, you know.
Exactly. Right? That's so, good. But that took a lot of discipline for you to get that.
Yeah, it did. And, like, I'm not gonna lie, there's some days where I override it and I'm like, all right, so, and that's just being transparent. Like, there's days where I don't do it perfectly, but I at least have it established to where it's like, I have to go out of my way to be on it, as opposed to, I just woke up and now I'm on it. Like, I had to at least go to another app, unlock it. Like, that took intentionality. Like, that took intentionality in time. Yeah. So, though, putting those blocks in front of you to try to slow you down from doing those certain things, it's definitely helpful.
Yeah, it's like putting back in for yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Is it true that it takes 21 days to change or reform a habit?
63 days.
63?
Actually, so Dr. Caroline Leaf is my favorite neuroscientist, and she came out with this book, How to Clean Up Your Mental Mess.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my dog, sorry.
No, it's all
and
good.
Then How to Clean Up Your Child's Mental Mess. And with that, she created an app called the NeuroCycle. Mm-hmm. And in that, she talks all about patterns and thought processes and everything. And yeah, you know, 21 days, that's kind of the main thing, you know, like, yeah. But, like, to actually get, it takes, you know, like 63, like, those full patterns to just come. Be changed and be different. And so, like, don't give up. Like, if you did, you know, 21 days, but you're like, oh, I'm still stuck and wanting to be on my phone in the morning, like, that's okay. Like, give grace to yourself and keep going, you know?
Yeah, that's real. So, do you know, I mean, I probably have to read the book. Do you know how, like, 21 and 63 are random numbers, essentially.
Yeah.
But, like, is there any, like, how did we get to those numbers?
This is a great question. I'm sure that there is like a podcast that she did or something where she talks about, you know, like the science behind that and the meaning behind that.
I gotta check it out. I follow her on Instagram. She posts a whole bunch of, I like the little memes that she posts.
That's so funny. Yeah. So if you guys are interested in that, you should definitely look her up. And she has a lot of amazing books, but yeah.
For sure. All right. Let's see. I'm trying to make sure I went through any questions I might have. Do you have any questions for me?
What's like the most asked question that you get from people who listen to your podcast and who like DM you or reach out to you, you know, like, do you feel like there's one most asked question that like people are needing or wanting, just like in general? It could be like about anything. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think two things. One, I think some people just reach out like asking for prayer, like just prayer about anything. It could be whatever, like going through this, going through that. So they'll do that. And then another question is often like, just like salvation. Like, is it, you know, is it once saved, always saved? Or like, so a lot of people ask that. Those two things are real, real popular. And I think the prayer thing is good in a sense, but I also, sometimes it kind of like, it breaks my heart a little bit because I'm like, I realize that either you don't know how to pray or you do know how to pray and you just want agreement, or you don't have anyone to agree with you or like pray with you. Like real, you know, people in that you know. And so I'm always like, you know, my thing is like always trying to help people learn how to pray and learn like.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you know, if you've been a Christian for a while or you've been saved, you can kind of assume that people know stuff that they don't know. And so it's like, oh, yeah, everybody knows how to pray. Just pray. And it's like, no, not everybody not everybody knows how to pray. And so even through my content, I try to, that's why you'll hear me like break something down to almost like a duh level, because I don't want to assume, like I know the audience ranges from like not even saved to, you know, super spiritual. And so on a high level, you know, they can understand, but I also want to make sure, like, I want anybody to be able to watch the show and be like, okay, I can at least take something away and understand it practically.
For sure. And what I want people to know with that too, is I think oftentimes whenever someone is on the stage, you know, like a pastor or, you know, with your platform, so many times in our minds, it's like, oh, if we could only get that person to pray for me, you know, but it's like every single one of us have the same access to the Holy Spirit that a pastor does. You know, it's like kids have the same access to the Holy Spirit, you know, like there's no junior level.
100%.
I just want people to understand that too. Like, yes, there's power in having people agree with you, you know, and pray with you, you know, but there's also like, you can get on the floor of your bedroom at 2 p.m. on a Wednesday.
Yep.
And like, you have the same access to God there, you know?
Yeah, that's a good reminder. I remember as you were speaking, one scripture, I quoted it earlier, where it says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, right? But of power, love, and a sound mind. And you were just talking about habits and discipline. And I remember that in some translations, that word sound mind translates to self-discipline. So, and like, even if you look in Greek, like the word, it says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and self-discipline. And that's so awesome. The connection between self-discipline and a sound mind are hand in hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might not think of self-discipline as, okay, that a tool to help you have a sound mind, but literally through self-discipline, you can, you know, it will help to renew your mind.
Yeah. It's so crazy. Like everything that we've talked about for the last hour there, everything is connected with Christianity, with habits, with patterns, with like, and it's just such a reminder. It's like God is in everything. And so you don't have to separate. You don't have to separate anything.
Nope. You know? And that's what I always tell people, like, because a lot of people, they have biblical concepts. Like, they know biblical principles just, like, almost instinctively. But they don't have the actual scripture to go along with it.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing I always encourage people, like, okay, take all the concepts you know and find scripture for it. Meditate on that and learn it so that you have not just natural, but you have biblical, spiritual language to go hand in hand with what you already know.
For sure.
So.
For sure.
This has been great. Any, you have any other questions, thoughts, ideas, anything you want to share?
I just really want to leave people with hope. Like, it doesn't matter how, like, it doesn't matter where you've been from. It doesn't matter if, you know, your grandfather hated therapy and your mom hates therapy. It doesn't matter if you've been through the worst thing ever. Like, there's hope for absolutely everything. And, like, yeah. God is the God of hope. He's the God of peace, the God of joy. And, like, even if you're listening to this and you're not a Christian, like, you can have hope too. You know, like, it's literally in a split second, you can say, like, Jesus, I'm confused by you. I don't really know what you're all about. But, like, I think I want to know you. Like, can you help me? And he will be there next to you in that split second. And in your pain, like, don't hide any of your pain, any of your emotions, you know, like, from God or from your peers. Like, being open and vulnerable with the Lord is so powerful. Like, all of the Psalms were written from a place of, like, despair, basically, you know, like, it doesn't scare him. And so just, like, I just want people to know that they can be real. Like, they don't have to put on an act or, like, praise God that he chose us and meets us when we're literally at the top of our sin, you know?
Yeah. That's so good. Amen. I appreciate you. Share where people can follow you and your business and everything. That how can they keep up with you?
Yeah, well, my website for biblical counseling, and that's where I meet, it's all virtual. It's kids, teenagers, young adults. And it's, I'll text it to you, so maybe you can put it on, like, the description or something, but it's holyhealingcounseling.com. And so there you can fill out the contact form, and it'll show me, it'll give me, you know, all of your information. And on that question, it says, you know, what are your goals for counseling? And so I'll kind of read that. And then I offer, 20, 30 minute free complimentary intake call. Ask me any questions, reach out. I think that's it.
Do the people have to be in Florida?
No,
or do
so
you
that's
do
amazing.
This virtually?
The benefits of doing a biblical counseling practice, it's kind of like, it kind of can be equated to, like, life coaching. Like, if you're a life coach and you have a business, you know, gotcha. You're not under, like, anything. You're, like, you're your own business, and people go to you, and, you know, it's like, I have, you know, liability turns. We have HIPAA secured platforms. We have software, but I'm not under a state regulation. I'm not bound by any of that. No insurance. And so that gives me the freedom to meet with anybody, any state, any country. And we get to meet with the Holy Spirit and have prayer and vulnerable conversations and therapeutic interventions. Like, what do I do when I'm having a panic attack? And then, you know, also just integrating both.
Awesome. That's so dope. I hope people listening have taken from this that, one, like, you got, like, we all have stuff. We all, like, have stuff that we have to deal with mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Whether, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, how great or how terrible of a life you've had, quote unquote. But at the end of the day, God has used, God has given us his word. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's also given us people on earth that are gifted and passionate about helping people walk through the process of mm-hmm. restoration and healing. And so don't look down upon mm-hmm. it. Don't let pride stop you. If you're like, that's not, like, don't let pride, as Kara said earlier, like, you have nothing to lose. At worst case, you just don't like it and you don't go. But at least mm-hmm. give it a try. Give it a shot, because you never know. A part of your healing may be in this process. And so I appreciate each and every person listening. Kara, real quick, can you pray?
Yeah.
Pray us out. Just pray for the people listening and watching.
Hi, Jesus. Thank you so much for letting us have this conversation. I know that you are so pleased right now with everyone taking the time to listen and to want to listen and to want to grow. Lord, we love you so much. And the sole purpose of my life is to bring honor to you. And I know with Kevin too, God, that we've experienced so much joy and healing through our relationship with you, that we just want to help other people get there too. Because we know what it's like. I know what it's like to be on the other side of full of pain and despair. And I know what it's like to still experience hard things, God, but get to walk through it with you. And so, Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit just fills whatever room these people are watching this in, and you meet with them there. And we love you so much. And you're really good, God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for watching this episode, Kara. Thank you for being on here. But thank you to each and every person listening, watching, wherever you're from. I appreciate you. If you're on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. If you're on Spotify, like it. Like, whatever you can do to help other people be able to experience it, I appreciate it. And I hope that you remember to make today worth living. Peace.